For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Sunday, Ian Rappaport reported that the Saints were flying in Marquez Valdes-Scantling to see if they could come to terms with him. And Rappaport now, along with Tom Pelissero, are reporting that the Saints are signing Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's a big, tall receiver, excellent foot speed. The problem with Scantling in the past has been he's been an inconsistent route runner, and he's got the dropsies. He's averaging 16.9 yards a catch throughout his NFL career. That's when he catches it, okay? So he's been a big play guy. The problem has been his inconsistency to be that real sharp route runner, to be that guy that can make that catch game in, game out. He'll have a great game, and then he'll have a game where he drops an easy throw. But at this point, the Saints are looking to bring in someone that can give them a big man receiver, and they have come to terms, according to Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, with the veteran Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who was with the Packers, the Chiefs. He signed with Buffalo in the offseason. As soon as they made the deal for Amari Cooper, he got cut loose. Inconsistent, but man, he gives you a big target guy that he can go downfield. He's got outstanding foot speed. That 16.9 yards a catch jumps out at you. Again, that's when he makes the catch, because he has had a tendency to put the ball on the ground. It goes right through his hands. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and I hope you're enjoying this fantastic weather.
And it's good-looking, John. Man, it almost sort of feels like fall. I would like it a little cooler, but I'll take this. This is cool. This is all right with me.
I'll take a few degrees myself, but I'm liking what I feel outside. Listen, I'm not going to say much about the Saints or even their most recent addition because, you know, it's apparent to me that Dennis Allen just simply can't inspire or motivate the remaining players to play with any sort of fire. And it's become, you know, you look back and you see how Sean Payton was able to cover over maybe some of the deficiencies in the ball club, you know, especially in the lean years, that he was, you know, would make it to seven wins at the very least. I don't think he ever lost, won less than seven games his whole career with the Saints. But, you know, there was one player, guys, in this state that was certainly displaying fire and desire, and that was LSU linebacker Whit Weeks. You know, LSU's defense has still been an Achilles heel, and, you know, it's definite that, you know, Nussmeier and the rest of the offense is going to have to carry him. But I've often found, guys, that one defensive player, no matter what his talent level may be, can often take a team on his shoulders and inspire them through sheer effort and instinct. And I think we got to see that in Whit Weeks on Saturday night.
Yeah, if you look at Whit Weeks, I mean, look, 18, to me, it caught, I think, the nation's attention when he had 18 tackles against Ole Miss. And then you just look at the third quarter, he's a playmaker with that tip and that interception that led to the LSU touchdown. And look, nothing against Harold Perkins, but Whit Weeks is a linebacker. He's a more productive linebacker. I'm not saying athlete and playmaker, but all around linebacker play, Whit Weeks is that guy. Now, I was telling Mike this. He could be an All-American. Now it's on ABC come Saturday night against the Aggies.
Got a lot against of eyes watching.
Yes,
Saturday. They're
watching Ole Miss. Now, they wouldn't watch it against Arkansas. You know why? Because Georgia's playing Texas at the same time. But they're going to be watching LSU and A&M, and then you're going to play Alabama. Whit Weeks, if he produces somewhat like he has in the against Ole Miss and Arkansas. If he does that against A&M and Alabama, he'll be an All-American. He's going to be a first-team All-American. No, Whit Weeks, I mean, you want to talk about a linebacker, no sort of football. Look at the passion. You know who had that passion? But Whit Weeks will get old one day, DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis has always had that passion, but this year not as much as in past seasons because you might be a half a step slow or whatever.
And you might be hurt and you can't play as well.
And you're trying to fight through something.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Whit Weeks, Big John, that's a great point because he's bringing a lot of passion to that LSU defense. And they're trending in the right direction, getting better.
And here's my deal. They have the top pass rusher from a numbers standpoint in Braden Swenson. Who is nobody before the season could have picked that. That would be the guy to be your pass rush specialist. And Swenson has really played well. But you know who's really played well, too? Quietly, Savion Jones.
Yes.
Man, his play against the run is so good. And then he gives you that push from the outside. Very good, and he opens up lanes that a guy like Weeks can run right through and get into the tackle. Now, one guy plays great, okay? We've seen it the past few weeks in Whit Weeks, but look at all the other guys piggybacking off of that. Swenson, Savion Jones. And you know what it really helps? Their leaky secondary.
Yep. And you look at it, you got to give Blake Baker a lot of credit. Because before the season, a lot of pressure's on him, but they are getting better. They are getting respectable. And I look at, like, scoring defense and what comes about. I mean, I just looked at this. LSU 16-17 lead. That was the first time this season the Tigers have held with a Power 4 conference opponent under 10 points at halftime. Usually it would be like a shootout. Oh, we're going to have to score 30-some points. So, no, that's very encouraging. Going forward, and look, all I know is
they stopped the run.
We
couldn't say that on other games.
All eyes are on the Tigers and the Aggies. The last two undefeated teams in the mighty SEC is going to meet the last Saturday in October at College Station. It doesn't get any better than this. You don't think Disney, ABC, ESPN, it's all the same people. You don't think they love this? Because how they perform in the SEC? Okay, we got a matchup come Saturday night. The last two undefeated teams in the SEC. It's not Georgia. Okay. It's not Texas. It ain't Alabama. It's freaking LSU and A&M.
Okay, and what you had Saturday? Texas, Georgia. Man, so you hit it back to back.
Weekend after weekend after weekend.
Thank you, Big John. We appreciate the call.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.